We're now on topic number 11, titled Created for Something Better. This topic focuses on the Bible Sabbath. I've been in evangelism for the last 35 years, and I always come to the Sabbath with a sense of holy awe and reverence and significance. The Sabbath really is a dividing point in the audience. Men and women who go through the Sabbath and understand this presentation, make a commitment to Christ, to follow Jesus and to keep his commandments, often go all the way with the Lord. And so this Sabbath, this presentation on the Sabbath is extremely important. It's one that must be presented clearly, powerfully, lovingly, and certainly Christ-centeredly. This presentation begins with the fact that the scientific world today is being challenged as never before on the topic of evolution. We use two illustrations to illustrate that. One is Philip Johnson, former clerk of Earl Warren, wrote a book called The Wedge of Truth, in which he challenges the evolutionary theory, as many are challenging evolution today. Billy Graham said that the last message of God to this world is found in Revelation chapter 14. I really agree with Dr. Graham on that point, that the last message of God is found in Revelation 14. So our key text as we begin is Revelation 14, verse 7. So I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Revelation 14, verse 7. This describes God's last day message to humanity. Now, as you're preaching this, this text will be the introductory text for the entire series. So it'll be important for you to read verse 7, and I would also include verse 6 with it. You may want to read from your Bible verse 6 and then go back to the DVD for verse 7. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the middle of heaven." The angel does not float, the angel flies, indicating swiftness. So here's something urgent: having the everlasting gospel. So whatever this message is, it's part of the gospel to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. It's an urgent message, flying. It's part of the everlasting, aged, eternal gospel, and it's to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. It's to leap across geographical boundaries. Now, verse 7, and you'll see that on the screen, and I would have your people read that with you, saying with a loud voice, and you may want to ask your audience, what kind of voice? And they'll usually do something like this. Loud voice. Saying with what kind of voice? Loud voice. Saying with what kind of voice? Loud voice. So I'm glad that some of you out in the audience aren't the angel, because I would never have heard you. But the angel says what? See, sometimes with your audience, you want them to relax. And so you may say something that just brings a little relaxation in. Saying with a loud voice, fear God, that's reverence, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. We've studied that we're living in the judgment hour, and worship him who made heaven, earth, the sea, and the springs of water. So here is a call to worship the one that made, a call to worship the Creator. At this point, we make clear that the call in Revelation 14 for the entire human race is a call to worship the Creator just before the coming of Jesus. And then we raise the question, and you'll notice it on the bottom of page 2. The Bible calls us to worship the Creator. But how do I know what the sign of creation is all about? Has God left a sign of his creative activity? We've been looking at the last book of the Bible, Revelation, but to find the sign, we want to go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Now, at this point on pages 3 and 4, we go through the entire creative activity. We show how God created the world in 6 literal days, and then on page 11, we come to what I believe is one of the most paramount, fundamental, most important texts in this lecture. It's found on page 11, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2. We've shown in Revelation that God's last call is a call to worship the Creator. We've also shown that God created the world in 6 literal days, and now we show the sign of his creative activity, Genesis chapter 2. As you're preaching this, I would like to suggest that you very carefully emphasize 3 words in the text: blessed, sanctified, and rested. Genesis chapter 2. This is the end of creation week, and if you're following along in your manual, it's on page 11. Genesis 2, the Bible says, "Then God blessed the seventh day." And ask your audience, what day did God bless? Did he bless the first day, the third day, the fifth? Ask them that question. No, he blessed the what day? Seventh day. There is something important, and there's a psychological principle that says expression deepens impression. Can you say that with me? Three words. Expression deepens impression. When I'm impressed about something, if I express it, it deepens the impression. So the more you express something, the more it deepens the impression. So the reason we ask people questions about the texts, the reason we ask people questions about what we're studying, is so that as they express it, their hearts and minds will be more convicted. So God bless what day? The seventh. He didn't bless the first, the third, the fourth, the fifth. Now man may say that another day is blessed, but God says he blessed the seventh. Then it says he sanctified it. What does sanctify mean? It means to set apart. It means to make holy. It means to distinguish from all the rest. So there was a particular day, and God did what? He blessed it. He infused a divine blessing in it. He sanctified it. He set it apart for holy use. And God, according to the Bible, rested on the seventh day. So the reason I bless the Sabbath is because God blessed it. The reason I sanctify the Sabbath is because God sanctified it. And the reason I rest on it is because God rested on it. Now, only God can make something holy. We can only keep holy something God already made holy. And the truth of the matter is, I can't sanctify any day. I can keep holy the day because God made it holy. Now, there's a very important point on page 11 that says this. It's right a comment on sanctified. Only God can make something holy. The Bible says he did just that when he sanctified the seventh day. The truth of the matter is, no human being can ever sanctify the Sabbath. We can't make it holy, but God did. So the reason no human being can ever change the Sabbath is because of the fact that only God can make something holy. So God did three things on the seventh day. Never did them on the first, the third, or the fifth. From there, we point out in the bottom of page 11, Mark 2, verse 27 and 28. Mark 2, verse 27 and 28. The Bible says, let me ask you a question. Those of you that are teaching, and those of you in my class today, what if I said this? The Sabbath was made for the Jew. Is that true or false? I thought I'd fool even some of you. The Sabbath was made for the Jew. Yes. The Sabbath was made for the Gentile. Yes. The Sabbath was made for all humanity. Yes. The Sabbath was made for man. And so is man a Jew? Is Jew a man? Sure. So it wasn't made only for the Jew. Now, if I said the Sabbath is made only for the Jew, that'd be different, wouldn't it? Notice Mark chapter 2, verse 27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for what? Man. It doesn't say Jew. It doesn't say Gentile. It says all humanity. So the Sabbath is a day of rest and worship. Some people say, what difference does it make what day you keep? Well, God blessed what day? The seventh day. God did what? He sanctified the seventh day. God did what? He rested on the seventh day. And the Bible says the Sabbath was made for who? Man. We then proceed through the sermon and point out that all through the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a sign between God and his people. We go through the experience of manna falling on 6 days and not falling on the seventh day. We go through that marvelous passage in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Then we come to the Ten Commandment law, Exodus chapter 20, on page 17. Exodus chapter 20, we're now in the Ten Commandment law. And in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, and I would have them read this, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments. Now, are the Ten Commandments still relevant for people today? Since we're under grace and not under law, can we go out and commit adultery, steal, cheat? Not at all. So what does it say in Exodus 20, verse 8? The first word is remember. God says remember, but the whole world mostly has done what? Forgotten. Tell your people as you're studying this with them that if they have their Bible, take it out, circle the word remember. God said remember, and he means remember. If God didn't mean remember, he would have said forget the Sabbath day. But the commandment doesn't begin forget the Sabbath day, does it? The commandment begins what? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We can only keep holy something God has made holy. If it's part of the Ten Commandments written with God's finger on tables of stone, it must be indeed important. Bottom of page 17, there's a wonderful comment. It says, you'll notice that the Sabbath is in the center or the heart of the Ten Commandments. God asked mankind to remember the Sabbath day as a memorial of creation. The Sabbath is as old as the world itself. So the Sabbath predates the Jew. It goes right back to Genesis. It's God's sign through the Old Testament. Now, what about the New Testament in when it comes to the Bible Sabbath? If you'll take your manual and turn here to the New Testament references on the Sabbath, page 21, the bottom, it says, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says, he came to Nazareth, that's speaking of Jesus, Luke 4, verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue or the church on the Sabbath. So what did Jesus do on the Sabbath? He went to worship. You can look at numerous experiences where Jesus worshiped on the Sabbath. Jesus never had any question with the scribes and Pharisees what day to worship on. It was always Sabbath. That's why he said the Sabbath was made for man. The only question that the Pharisees had was how to keep the Sabbath, and they loaded up all rubbish in front of the Sabbath, and so Jesus had to sweep all that away. Probably the strongest text in the New Testament where the disciples actually keep the Sabbath is the passage in Acts, the 13th chapter. And you will find that on page 26, Acts 13, verse 42 and 44. And it's on page 26 of your lecture. This is another text that I would underline, that I would mark clearly. It's Acts 13, verse 42 to 44. And it says, the apostle in verse 42 had been preaching in a Jewish synagogue on the Sabbath. But in verse 44, it says in verse 43, actually, that they asked the disciples to preach to them the next week. And the apostle says in verse 44, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. If the disciples were worshiping on Sunday, why would Paul teach an entire city to come together on Sabbath to hear the word of God? It wouldn't make sense. So here you have a very clear passage in the New Testament, and when you're reading that on DVD, and as you're reading it from the screen, I would read it like this. The next Sabbath day, almost the whole city. Who came out there? What does the Bible say? How many? The whole city. And they came to hear the word of God. And what day did they come to hear the word of God? Sabbath. So if the disciples were keeping the resurrection holy, the first day of the week, why would he have a whole city to come out and worship on Sabbath? Now, there is one more point about this sermon that I think needs to be made plain. There are many people that say, well, how can you tell which day the seventh day is? We don't know if seventh day, the calendar could have been changed, etc. We do deal with that in this sermon, and that's on page 24. We show that Friday's the preparation day. We show that Jesus rested in the tomb on Saturday, and he rose from the dead on Sunday. And we show that there's the preparation day, Friday, the seventh day, Saturday, or the Sabbath, and the first day of the week that he rose from the dead on, Sunday. So what day is Sabbath? It's the day between the preparation day, Friday, and the first day of the week, the day Jesus rose again on Sunday. Spend time on that, because many people say, well, how do you know what the seventh day is? And the Bible makes it very plain what day it is. Seventh day, of course, is the day we call Saturday, or the Bible Sabbath. Just two interesting things for you to keep in mind as you're preaching this sermon. In 140 languages in the world, the day we call Saturday is called Sabbath. Spanish, it's sábado. Portuguese, it's sábado. Same in Italian. Arabic, it's as-sabat. Russian, it's subata. Bulgarian, subata. So the day we call Saturday, they don't have that word in most languages. The day we call Saturday, the seventh day, is always called Sabbath. So keep that in mind. Second thing to keep in mind on that argument that you can't tell which day the Sabbath is, it's very simple. If our Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, what kind of God would he be if you couldn't keep holy the Sabbath because you couldn't find it and couldn't discover it? Who would know what day the seventh day of the week is? Well, the Jews have been keeping the Sabbath for centuries. So they have actually kept a straight line of truth. Look in any dictionary and you look under the word Saturday and it'll say seventh day of the week. So you look under the word Sabbath, seventh day of the week. And so the Bible is clear, astronomy is clear, history is clear. There's never been a change in the calendar that has in any way affected the seventh day Sabbath. When I come to the appeal on this particular sermon, I do not, and this may surprise you, I do not make my appeal on this sermon and say, how many of you want to keep Sabbath? I rather make my appeal this way. Jesus said, and you're on page 27, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many of you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Let's see your hand if you love Jesus. And he says what? Keep my commandments. The one that said, remember the Sabbath day, and wrote the Sabbath with his own finger on tables of stone. He's the one that had his hands nailed to the cross for you, for me. Do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to really follow him? Would you like to say, Jesus, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. Would you like to say today, Lord, I want to stand with you. Lord, no matter what the world does, no matter what other churches do, no matter what multitudes of people do, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. Would you like to say that in your heart today? Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. Now, you notice that appeal. The reason we ask them to follow Jesus is because the Sabbath to them is new truth. And if they make a decision to follow Jesus, they conversely will make a decision to keep the Sabbath that Christ has ordained as creator and that Christ loves. I do not ask them to raise their hand to keep Sabbath, but I do ask them to raise their hand on this particular sermon to follow Jesus all the way. It's on our next sermon on the change of the Sabbath that we pass out a response card and we ask them to fill out the response card. And the first line on the card says, because I love Jesus so much, I want to keep his commandments. Check it. Because I love Jesus so much, I want to keep the seventh day of the week, the Bible Sabbath Saturday. Check it. Because I love Jesus so much, I want to follow him. So it's our next card that we become more specific as we enter into the change of the Sabbath. God bless you as you preach this sermon on the Bible Sabbath.